We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and I am so excited. I'll tell you what, we have probably one of the best episodes we've ever done coming up. But first, I need to allow my partner to introduce himself.
Yeah, this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from beautiful South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And so I'm texting Matt, what are we going to talk about? And Matt says, let's talk about Trinity and share. And I thought, wow, how did he come up with a connection between the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and one of the world's most beloved singers, Cher? And I was so excited. So I take it back. Well, Matt, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And now could you explain to people what you actually intended to say to me, but spell check kind of got in your way.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my text here. Yeah. I could talk about the Trinity, I said, and share some insights.
Yes.
From a recent sermon. So yes, share as in S-H-A-R-E, not Sonny and Cher. Yes.
But admittedly, that's what it said. It said C-H-E-R in the text. And I was like, wow, I wonder what he can. So
this was voice to text, right?
Yeah.
And what gets me is, you know, the AI, that's probably AI. I'm going to blame it on the artificial intelligence, John.
Not Claude, you know, not our AI. I don't know what AI you were using.
But
Claude
when I said,
wouldn't make a mistake like that.
But when I said Cher, for it to assume Sonny and Cher, it's like, is her name used that much more often than the word S-H-A-R-E? I mean,
maybe in your conversations, Matt.
I don't know, John.
Got you, babe.
Yeah, you caught me, John. I'm talking about Cher.
Yeah.
The artist Cher all the time in my text messages.
They just assume.
Oh, again, my kids get tired of it. Oh, Dad's talking about Cher again.
I imagine it's Lisa that gets tired of it.
Yes. All right.
come on, admit it. You guys dress up like Sonny and Cher Halloween.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
Well, we're a lot of fun at the karaoke bars, John.
You are.
Yeah, I've got you, babe, like you said. Brother.
So what did you want to talk about then?
Well,
about
I'm glad you asked, John. sorry, Cher fans. I wasn't going to talk about her necessarily, but. I did want to talk about what we call one of the mysteries of the faith, all right?
Yeah.
The mystery of the Trinity. We're blessed to have a new member class here at Ascension. We go through our kind of adult confirmation class, and, you know, one of the folks in that class is grew up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, right? You know, and they have a very different understanding of who God is, certainly.
Big controversy about them, whether they are Christian or not. And they definitely want to consider themselves Christian. But go ahead,
I mean, boy, we could take a whole episode talking about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, part of it is, you know, using some of the same terms even, but meaning very different things than we do as Christians. But anyway, you know, my point is, as there's a lot of church bodies, I guess I'll just call them, that misunderstand the Trinity. And even us as Christians who have the creeds and all these blessings, even we misunderstand the Trinity.
And Matt, if I could interrupt you, historically, that's the way it's been.
Yeah.
We've been fighting over the Trinity since the very beginning that the church started. In fact, literally, it's the one thing that people actually did go to war over. So this is a really important subject.
It's a big deal, right? And it comes down to, you know, who God is, right?
Yeah.
And what he's done for us. So one way I want to look at this, you want to use a metaphor, John, of a puzzle, okay?
Puzzle.
So are you a puzzle guy, a puzzle person?
Well, now, what kind of there's all kinds of puzzles.
So, like the
jigsaw puzzles,
the traditional jigsaw
crossword puzzles. Jigsaw puzzles, yeah. Yeah, we do that. Although we get the ones. Have you seen the ones you get that come like in 12 different packages? So you don't have to do the whole thing at once.
Oh,
you
wow. Just have a look little, at that.
Yeah, you know, they have okay. Advent ones, and that's how we got started. Because, yeah, doing a whole puzzle, that would be too much for us. But if we take it section by section, we can handle it.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Good.
So anyway, jigsaw puzzles. Go ahead.
Yeah. We do it once a year. We do between Christmas and New Year's Day. We kind of have a puzzle on the table.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of work on it. And that's just kind of been our family's little tradition. But, you know, you get a puzzle, you dump it out, and you have all these puzzle pieces of different sizes and shapes. And, you know, how do they come together, right? And especially when you first dump out that puzzle, it's daunting.
Yes, yes.
Do these things really fit together? Are they all here? Yeah.
We get the edges right away, but then after that. Yeah.
And yes, we've got the corners, and we start moving the corners. We get the edges. We work on that. We know how it works. That's how you start. Those are key to the puzzle. But for us, I think, you know, to relate that to the Trinity, I think sometimes we think about the Trinity and it's almost like staring at a puzzle dumped on a tabletop. Oh my goodness, how does this all fit together, right? You know, I think on the one hand, boy, that makes sense because God is God after all, and we're not.
Yeah.
If God was a God that we could comprehend fully, then he wouldn't be much of a God, would he, John? But he's one that is a mystery.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, for instance, you know, we have, verses in the Bible where it talks about how, God is just above us, right? You know, and beyond our understanding. Romans 11, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, how inscrutable his ways, right? But yet, the Bible does talk about the Trinity. And I think we can look at that in terms of puzzle pieces. So in Scripture, there's these different pieces that we can start to put together, at least, to give us a clearer picture of who the Trinity is. Now, there's not like one chapter that does that, right, John?
There's not a chapter
that says, it's not subtitled in our study Bible, everything you ever wanted to know about the Trinity. You know, Hezekiah chapter 2. That's not how it works. Instead, there's these puzzle pieces scattered throughout the Old and New Testament, each one of us giving us a small picture, a glimpse of who God is, of who the Trinity is. And that's what I want to take a look at today, John, is some of those puzzle pieces and begin to put those together with our listeners.
So I don't want to steal any of your thunder, but I think it is interesting that the whole idea of the Trinity is right there at the get-go, isn't it? From Genesis chapter 1, where God says, let us make a man in our image. So whatever this is, this puzzle, if from the very beginning, it's more than just one. And like you say, how it all fits together, then, and I think it's by design. I think that's what God wants us to do, to keep searching in the Scripture, knowing that we'll never get a complete understanding, because like you said, he's God and we're human, but that we can get a better understanding.
Yes.
Of course, ultimately, the only way you can understand God is through his son, Jesus Christ, where he takes on flesh. But I'm jumping the gun for you, I'm sure. So go ahead. Where do we start?
Well, yeah.
Where's the corner pieces for this puzzle?
Well, I'm gonna start with the edge pieces, John.
Okay.
But we'll get to the corner pieces.
I think I see where you're going.
I think one of the edge pieces, very important, is the one you just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and let's take a look at some of those opening verses of the Bible. I think it's an edge piece for sure. As you're turning to that, John, though, I just want to affirm something else you said, and that's just simply, maybe this is obvious for Christians, I hope it is, but yeah, we search the Scriptures to know who God is.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because, you know, if we were coming up with who God is ourselves, and, you know, over the years, people have tried to do that, right, our own idea of who God is, if we were to create our own little puzzle pieces, right, and I think the image that would start to emerge, at least for me, would probably look a whole lot like me, John. God looks a whole lot like me, you know, thinks the way I think and, you know, affirms the things that I do. And wait a second, that's not who God is. He's separate from us. He's different from us. He's God. We're not. He's the creator. We're the creation. And we're creatures. So just to affirm that. Because, you know, part of it is, you know, if we came up with our own idea of who God is, There is no way we could come up with one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who loved us enough to send his Son into the world to die on a cross and rise from the dead to save us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't come up with that.
No, no.
I mean, who God truly is just infinitely better than what the crummy God we would come up with. And that's the God revealed to us in Scripture. So again, hopefully obvious, but the puzzle pieces for forming who God is, not from ourselves, but they're from God's Word. From God's
Word. And I would suggest that every heresy, and there have been multiple heresies throughout the ages, they come from that, from people not willing to simply accept what the Word of God says and trying to be more logical and rational and human about it. But like you say, that's the point. This isn't human. This is our divine creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, as we go through this, I mean, we're going to put the puzzle together somewhat, John, but it's not going to be the full puzzle. It isn't. And I think, again, when we get into trouble, as you said, is when people try to maybe fill in those pieces themselves and really determine who God is. Okay, so yeah, here's one of the side pieces. So if you want to read, those opening verses of Genesis.
Which verses would you like?
Let's see. Well, let's see here, John. I'm turning to Genesis 1 myself. So just let's see here. Genesis 1 will begin with verse 1. Verses 1 through 3.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these glimpses of the tree, a piece of the puzzle, not the full puzzle, just a piece.
No.
But yeah, you have God the Father. You know, we think about God creating, right? God is creator. We have the Spirit even hovering on the face of the waters. And the waters, in this sense, the Hebrew word here, just kind of this formlessness, this nothingness, this void. And then you have the Word itself, let there be light. And we think about Jesus, who is, John chapter 1, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. So glimpses of the Trinity here. And then, as you mentioned too, let us make man in our own image, this plural, right? So already these glimpses that, there's this God, but it's a God and who is in relationship with himself. What a mystery that is.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's all that exists. That's it. So there in Genesis, we get at least a puzzle piece when it comes to the Trinity.
Yeah, at least we know that there's something beyond just one single God. But how that all fits together, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and then throughout the Old Testament, all these different glimpses, one after another. But I'm going to skip ahead to the New Testament.
Okay.
Another piece here. If we want to go to Matthew's gospel, we'll look at a couple verses there. You probably know they are already, John, but one is Jesus' baptism. We don't want to forget that.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Matthew 3, verse 16. Matthew 3, 16 and following.
Gotcha.
Again, this is a place where the Bible doesn't explain everything there is to know about the Trinity, but yet it gives us a glimpse of how the Trinity's at work. And so we see that at Jesus' baptism. So, verses 16 through, let's see. Just verse 16 and 17.
Okay. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased."
Yeah. And you've probably taught this a thousand times,
John. Oh, my
goodness,
yeah.
But rightly so, because it's just, again, I think of, wow, what a precious puzzle piece this is. That's an important one. God the Son, the one standing in the Jordan being baptized, Jesus. God the Father, that voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And God the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending and resting on him. So again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Again, another puzzle piece, who God is.
And it's interesting because at this point, Jesus hasn't taught us to pray our Father.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But right there, it says, "This is my beloved Son." So you know who's talking. It's got to be. And isn't it cool that
Father,
when we pray, we address him like we're his sons and daughters too?
Yeah.
Us and Jesus, our Father. All right.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, the Lord's Prayer, I think, is another puzzle piece, too. You know, that Jesus, the Son, teaches us to pray to the Father, our Father. But we're going to skip all the way to the back of Matthew, as you probably expected, John.
I know where you're going there.
The Great Commission. So this is after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, before he ascends into heaven. Jesus commissions his followers here, and the 11 in particular. So verse 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 28.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in, drum roll, please, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, John. So so in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I think it's kind of interesting. You know, one name, that's singular, one name.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And yet this name has three persons to it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly how we still baptize today. Those exact same words in the name of the triune God. And that's the words that we begin our service with so often, the invocation, right? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, coming here from Matthew chapter 28.
Yeah, and I like that because there it is. It's as simple as that. One name, one God, and yet three different people, yeah.
So good. So thanks, John. So those are the corner pieces.
Yeah.
I would say the side pieces, rather, of the puzzle. So the corner pieces are the most important ones. And I would say, as you alluded to earlier, John, that those are all about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, specifically those pieces that talk about Jesus' death, but also, you know, maybe in particular his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection.
Yes.
So I think, you know, that's what I'm going to look at next, is those corner pieces of Jesus' resurrection and how that anchors that puzzle of who the Trinity is. So when we think about Jesus' resurrection, you know, who gets the credit for that? You know, ever think about that? You know, who gets the credit for Jesus' resurrection? Is it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit when it comes to credit for Jesus rising from the dead?
All right, well, now I hope you get this right because you're going to win me
all
a
right,
bet with,
John,
with Lynn.
Think?
We're going to win a bet because Lynn and I have an argument on who, well,
oh,
Lynn would say that Jesus raised himself, and I would point out, well, I know that passage where it says that God raised Jesus. So where are we going here, Matt?
So I think you're both right, John.
Oh,
that's
darn
good,
it.
Good Lutheran answer, right?
Okay.
So we're going to, there's a, so we're going to be in general here. We're going to be at Romans 6 and John 10 and Romans 8. I might just go ahead and you know, summarize those verses. But
go ahead, man. You know, that'd be easier.
Because when it comes to Jesus' resurrection, I think all three get the credit. All right, God the Father, God the Son, God even the Holy Spirit. So Romans 6 talks about Christ being raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Right.
Okay.
The glory of the Father.
Right.
So there you go, John. You're talking about the Father, right?
Right.
I believe. So there you go. So I think, yeah, Romans 6, you know, I think would help support that. But then also we've got John 10, where Jesus says that he lays down his life that he might take it up again.
Mm, yeah.
Right. So that's Jesus, God the Son, talking.
That's Lynn's passage.
That's a good one too, Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, it's God's word after all, Jesus' own words even. So he lays down, you know, as this good, that's the Good Shepherd chapter, right? He lays down his life and he also takes it up again. So Jesus raises himself from the dead. You and I can't do that. Only the Son of God can do that. But then you also go to Romans 8, where it talks about the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead.
Oh, okay.
So the Spirit, you know, what were we talking about there? Well, you know, the Spirit of God, we say God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. And so...
So that's actually a third passage, because Lynn and I, we had talked about those two passages.
Yeah.
But now there's even another one that... We got the Spirit involved in it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So again, I think who raised Jesus from the dead? Maybe one of the best answers is well, God did.
Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think it's again just a test to the work of the Trinity for our salvation.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, Jesus is the only one who died on the cross. He's the only one who rose from the dead. Yes, yeah. He is our Savior. But yet the Father sent him into this world, and the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of faith and keeps us in that faith. So the whole Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, at work in that respect for our salvation. And I would say that, you know, those passages that are about the resurrection and centered in Christ are those most key to putting together this puzzle of who God is, who the Trinity is. Yeah.
Well, see, it kind of loops back to where you started. The fact that we cannot understand the Trinity.
Yeah.
It'd be like my cat understanding why I do the things that I do.
Yeah.
You know, my cat probably figures out, why don't you just have a box in the living room? It would be so much simpler than what you guys do. But so there you go. So how are we going to understand God then, when fundamentally we could not do that by our own reason or strength? Well, the doctrine of the Trinity explains it, doesn't it? Puts God as our Father, which that's a concept we can understand. The Spirit, as you said, He's got to give us the faith. And of course, the primary thing is He actually comes down and becomes one of us.
Yeah.
So even though we couldn't understand Him in His glory, and we still can't, we couldn't figure out the God that is glorious. Well, in fact, we can't even come close to Him, it says in the Old Testament. At best, we could see the backside. But so He's come down to us and come in a way that we can see Him and understand Him. And what a beautiful thing to understand, that He loves us enough that He would die for us. Because that we do understand. No greater love does a man have than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Yeah.
And that's what's needed for salvation. You know, like so many things, the Scriptures don't tell us everything we want to know about the Trinity.
No.
I'd like to know more about God. Yeah, you bet.
I want to know about the future, too. Yeah, I want to know what's going to happen. I don't know. It doesn't tell me that.
But it tells us what we need to know, what we need to know. Maybe not what we want to know, but what we need to know. And what we need to know, as you pointed out, is, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what I need to know. Okay, so anyway, so we've got all these puzzle pieces then from Scripture, piece here, piece there about who God is. And, you know, really what the church has done then over the years is taken those puzzle pieces, begun to put them together, and really we put them together in what we call creeds, right?
Yes.
So I think the creeds are a one way where the church says, you know, well, first of all, for us, you know, we call the ecumenical creeds. So creeds that Christians confess, not just Lutherans, but creeds like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. These are these statements of faith that have been around for many centuries, from the fourth century AD. Wow. Amazing. And these creeds, I think, in one way to look at them is to say, okay, this is what the Scriptures have revealed to us about the Trinity. These are the important puzzle pieces. Okay, don't lose these pieces.
Yes.
Don't try to force other pieces into this either. But here are the essentials from the Scriptures that tell us about who God is, and this is a help to you in understanding God. So not adding to Scripture, right? Oh, no, never want to do that.
No.
Not taking away from it either, but taking those puzzle pieces, putting them in one place, saying, here you go. Here's a framework. Here's a picture of who the Trinity is. And I think that's one reason why I find the creeds as being helpful. And it also, you know, to combat some false teachings about the Trinity. Well, that piece doesn't fit. That piece doesn't fit here. That's not what this picture doesn't fit into this picture that Scripture gives us that we've put together in the creeds themselves.
And that's why the creeds have lasted over centuries.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's not a construction of men, but every one of those pieces comes right out of the holy word of God. That's why it lasts as long as it did. Whereas so much of the stuff that humans have made up, it comes, it goes, but the creeds remain. But that's important for us to understand. It's not that some church body made the creed, but that the creed correctly reflects what Jesus has revealed in the Holy Bible.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the things that, you know, strikes me about the creeds too, is just that, you know, that for generations, these same words have been confessed, and also the worldwide nature of it too, that today when we confess these creeds, I know that, that same Sunday, that same creed was being confessed by Christians in Africa and in Asia and in the Middle East, right? And wow, that's pretty cool, I gotta say. You know, this common faith in who God is, again, based on Scripture.
And again, I understand there may be some of our listeners that belong to a church body that doesn't like to use creeds. And let me say, I understand that. I understand the thought is we don't want human stuff. But then I would also ask you, so what is it particularly in these creeds that you feel deviates from the Holy Word of God? And I think the answer would, well, nothing really. So, okay, well, then maybe it's all right.
Yeah.
I understand the principle. We don't want human teaching. We want only teaching the Bible. But I think, as you said, throughout history and throughout the whole body of the church, it's pretty, universally agreed that, Jesus Christ, Father, Holy Spirit, these are the things that the Bible teaches. Yeah, not man.
Yeah, great point. What do you object to? That's good, John. Yeah, so as we wrap things up today, I just want to, affirm, though, too, that, even with all of this, with the Scriptures before us, with the great creeds of the church, right, in front of us, still we don't have the whole picture of who God is, right?
No.
We've got puzzle pieces, and they are beautiful pieces. They are true pieces. They are God-given pieces as revealed in the Bible, but we do not have the whole picture of who God is. And let me add, at least not yet, right? Not yet. And that's something that will be revealed to us in heaven. I love 1 Corinthians 13. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Isn't that beautiful? So that day when faith becomes sight, when we no longer rely on just puzzle pieces alone, that day when we don't just have these glimpses of who God is, but we see Jesus, our Savior, face to face. That's incredible. Faith becomes sight. And it's going to be beautiful, John, beyond imagination. That sense of joy, I guess you could say, when you finish a challenging 1,000-piece puzzle and the whole picture comes together and it's beautiful. I mean, that's just a dim shadow of the joy and the beauty that's going to be revealed as we behold our God. One day in his presence in heaven.
Yeah. And I think the key thing there is as it is revealed to us.
Yeah.
See, the heresies all come because we're trying to work it out on our own. And I think it's supposed to be a mystery as a reminder that, no, this isn't ours to do. We're not going to figure this out. But it is something that the Lord Jesus will give to us to understand. And everything we need to understand, he's given us already through his Son and his suffering, his death, and especially his resurrection, like you said. And all the other pieces that we need to see and we'll be given that when we get to heaven. But not now. And that's okay. We just take whatever the Lord gives us. We know it is enough.
Yeah. And I hope our listeners find peace and contentment in exactly that. We don't have all we want to know about the Trinity, but we've got what we need to know. We've got those puzzle pieces revealed in Scripture. And that is enough. Jesus and all that he's done for us is enough until one day, it's fully revealed in the Lord's presence in heaven.
Well, thank you again for listening to us. This has been Wrestling with the Basics. And we hope that you also appreciate the fact that he is your Father, he is your Savior, and he is the Spirit who gives us faith. God bless you.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.